Hey Airheads! Today's episode of Aficionados Internet Radio is brought to you by Audible.com. If you sign up today, you can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial if you go to audibletrial.com/aficionadoschris. With over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, and my personal preference, the Android, you can choose from many titles out there. My personal recommendation would be If Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor by Bruce Campbell. Once again, if you want a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audible.com, go to audibletrial.com/aficionadoschris. The link will be in the description. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, Airheads.
Aficionados Chris here.
You're listening to Aficionados Internet Radio.
Aficionados Chris.
Hey, everybody. Aficionados Chris here. And today we have, coincidentally, another person who's rather popular on Channel Awesome. Odds are you've heard of this guy. If you haven't seen his stuff, then you've probably at least literally heard this guy, because it's a voice you can't forget. To name everything he's ever done, whether on Channel Awesome or on his own website, would probably take a while, because this man has created quite a plethora of internet series, miniseries. He's even produced and written a couple movies as well, so we have a very extensive and very talented individual. And he's the man behind one of the most popular, I would think, internet critic characters, the Cinema Snob. We have Brad Jones. How are you doing?
Hey, good, man, good. It's good with that intro. It's a good thing my voice isn't lost or anything.
That's
like, so it's like, really? Like, he said he had a good voice. His voice sounds like crap.
I mean, that's the standout thing. Like, to me, when it was doing this podcast, to me, it's like, there's one guy I want to try and get, simply because he just has that voice that works for this kind of format.
I did do radio for a lot of years.
That I did not know that, but that makes perfect sense now that I know that. Like I said, that you, it's amazing that you have produced so many different things. Like, obviously, your most popular is easily The Cinema Snob.
Yeah.
But you've also done, if I can name a few, you've done Brad Tries, which is basically where you, as it states, you try different foods, mostly junk food. The last one I believe you just did was the Pizza Hut hot dog pizza, which was delicious, mind you.
We shot one yesterday. I haven't posted it yet, but we shot one yesterday where we went downtown because there was a downtown Springfield bacon throwdown. So some of us are still reeling from the greasy stomach from that.
Well, you know what? It is the internet. Bacon has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, this should go over well. It's got the word bacon in it. There was a freaking car there that was decked out in bacon duct tape.
See, I have bacon bandages that were given as like a gag Christmas gift, so I'm not even surprised that there's bacon duct tape.
There was a bacon duct tape car, and a person walking around in a bacon costume. There was a lot of bacon there. It was like walking inside the internet.
I cannot wait to see that. Other series that you do, one of my personal favorites, actually, of your outside your Cinema Snob is actually DVD Minus R Hell.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I like that too.
It's a personal favorite for me because I'm an avid collector of physical media, and I've always had like a fascination with bootlegs, or most importantly, like shows and movies that we're technically not supposed to see.
Yeah, like that one that just got leaked, the pilot for the live-action Clerks series.
Yeah, I actually saw that, and there was a side of me thinking, I hope Brad does a DVD minus R on hell on this, because it's something.
I'll do a DVD R hell on that. I gotta get through the Tequila and Benetti's first, but I definitely want to see. Oh, I've seen the Clerks pilot, but I definitely want to.
I've been told that like the 2011 Wonder Woman TV pilot is like circulating out in the bootlegging market.
Oh yeah, that's been around for a while. That's circulated for a long time. I saw that a couple of years ago.
We'll save that. But because of this, you do some, like, it's easy to say you're one of the most hardworking, at least in the Channel Awesome, because of all the different shows and things you produce. For all of them, like, I think most of us know where the Cinema Snob character came from, Roger Ebert mostly. But what basically inspired you to be like, you know what, I'm going to turn on a camera and just go and make videos? Like, what was the basic inspiration behind that motive?
A lot of free time.
Which is why you're here.
Yeah. A lot of free time, man. Like, for the past several years, I've worked from home and doing the website as my full-time job. So I'm always working on something and getting something written, directed, shot, posted, and all of that. And when I started, I'd done a few movies before then. I did a few exploitation flicks. And at the time, 2007, I think, there wasn't a lot online in terms of shows that were like mine, especially ones that dealt with some exploitation flicks or some horror flicks. So, you know, I worked a job at the time where I was only there for a few hours out of the day, and I was in between making a couple movies. Like, I think I had just finished making a movie called Midnight Heat. And so I started, I started this Cinema Snob show. I based the character largely on Ebert's review of Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, and also just some people I knew personally. I thought it was a funny thing to do, kind of lampoon, like, really harsh, highbrow critic attitudes towards, like, certain exploitation films. So I went ahead and did that just kind of for fun. And I liked doing it. I still like doing it. So I kept doing it. I would do a few episodes a day. I would do some episodes here and there. And it started developing a pretty small fan base. And so, you know, I like that. I continued it, and here I am today.
I think it works. Like, that's what I actually appreciated about the Cinema Snob character, because early on in Channel Awesome, I sort of wasn't on the understanding that a lot of the people were characters. Like, I thought, oh, these are real reviews, like, exaggerated comedic features for comedy. But when it came down to it, when I said, I like the Cinema Snob, but I don't really agree with him on some parts, and I found, oh, it's a satire of those highbrow, snobbish people. The real Brad Jones is actually kind of knows how to have fun and just enjoy a movie.
Yeah, most people who play a character in terms of talking about a movie or a video game or whatever, there's still a lot of traces to their own personality infused with the character. Me with the Cinema Snob is there's a pretty drastic difference. Yeah, certainly there could be movies that I do on there where I can certainly be speaking more so for my own personal opinion, yet still kind of in this character.
Yeah.
But by and large, I am really nothing like that in real life.
In case we can't tell from you right now.
I'm a pretty chill dude. Like, I'm not that pretentious. I'm not that snobby, really, when it comes to stuff. I just kind of like what I like, and, you know, if someone else does or doesn't, you know, cool, man, to each their own. It's just kind of, it's fun. It's not meant to be, it's really not meant to be any kind of, like, being mean for the sake of being mean or anything like that. It's just, you know, kind of poking fun at that kind of attitude that the Cinema Snob has, and playing with that stereotype of the highbrow, you know, I'm snarky and think I'm better than you type critic. It's just, it's fun to play that character. Like, it still is fun to play that character.
Well, that's what I can tell with the performance. Like, he really likes playing this character.
I do. I still love doing it. And, you know, in my case, it helps too that I'm very much watching the kinds of movies that I would be watching anyway, regardless of me playing this character or having this show. These are the kind of movies I'd probably sit around and be watching anyway. I mean, I grew up watching horror and exploitation movies, and then the what the fuck Hollywood type movies, like, you know, Heart Beeps, The Lonely Lady, things like that. Like, I would be watching this stuff anyway, so that really kind of goes along with my own movie watching taste. So I'm the type of person to where, like, I don't, if I don't like doing it, I'm not going to do it, which, you know, it certainly explains why I have a bunch of shows and some of them I've just not done anymore, because I just don't. I said all I needed to say with those shows in the past. I've really got nothing else and I want to move on to other stuff, but I really do still love doing the Cinema Snob.
Well, that's good, and that actually brings up one question I always have, because I asked something similar to Doug. Is that I'm always curious about the process of a lot of the internet critics on how they end up choosing or what film they end up seeing. It's like, that would be good for that character to review. Like, you basically said that these are films you'd watch anyway. So yeah. How do you figure out, like, of the films you're watching, there's a snob review right there?
You just know it when you see it. You just do. Whether it's because, like, okay, like, whether it's because this was a popular slasher movie of the 80s or something like that. Like when I do like a Friday the 13th movie, whenever there's a Friday the 13th or a Halloween movie on Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street or something like that. Like that's okay. That's that there is kind of a given. Or if it's like a really popular, what the fuck Hollywood type movie.
Something like Wired.
Wired, yeah, or Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band or something like that. Like, those are kind of givens. Like, in terms of you know, some of the more exploitation films, like, you just kind of feel it, you know? Like, yeah. This, I could have some fun with this. Honestly, I don't really... I have a list written down of stuff that I eventually want to get to, and there's stuff that's been on this list for, like, years. That I just simply haven't gotten to. Stuff like Rock and Roll Nightmare or something like that. But I don't really plan in advance. It really kind of is whatever I feel like doing that week. If it's a normal week. Now, sometimes, like, okay, if it's a Friday the 13th week, yeah, I gotta do a Friday the 13th film. Or, like, in the summertime, like, hey, this new Planet of the Apes movie is out, so I'm gonna do Brazilian Planet of the Apes, you know, like, then, you know, it's kind of set what the movie's gonna be that week. But other than that, I don't really plan stuff out. Yeah, I've got my list, but I basically, like, when I send away for the artwork, I kind of look at the list and I'm like, what do I feel like doing this week? And then I'll just, like, pick one. I don't schedule, a lot of people, they schedule things out, like, a month in advance, and I don't really do that. I tried doing that very briefly at one point, but by the time it would get to like the fourth or fifth movie or something like that, it would be like, okay, I'm really not feeling this one right now, but I gotta do it anyway because I already sent it away for the artwork and whatever. Like, for me, it keeps it fresher for me to just like kind of spontaneously pick one. Like, once that week approaches.
See, I'm just imagining you with, like the piece of paper, closing your eyes, and just moving your finger and hitting it. Like, oh, that's the movie.
Nah, I don't do that, because I'd land on one, and then I'd be like, yeah, I still don't feel like doing this one. it's just kind of me looking at the list, or if I happen to have, like, maybe come across something that week, and just feel like doing that, like, right then and there, I'll do that.
I personally, like mentioned earlier, one of my favorite reviews still is actually Wired.
That's actually my favorite one now. If I had to pick a favorite one now, it would be Wired.
Wired was my favorite simply because throughout, I think like 30 minutes of it, like I think that was the runtime, just watch it, I was just in utter just disbelief that this film even existed.
I remember when that movie came out, man. Like, I watched it. My mom rented it when it first hit video. And I watched it with her. And I remember kind of being like, what the hell is this? Like, I remember just thinking it was just kind of a goofy comedy. Like, okay, it's a goofy comedy that's based on John Belushi and he's a ghost. Because I was, like, 8 when this movie came out. So, like, I was like, it's this goofy movie about John Belushi's ghost. Okay, I'm 8 years old, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, being much older, you're like, well, I mean, I saw the movie again, like, when I was in high school. And then I saw it again when I did it as the snob, and it's just like, wow, this is in bad taste. This is in such bad taste.
It's just amazing that someone would actually sign off on something like that.
Yeah,
And written by a rather competent writer as well. Like, it's that perfect, well, I can't even believe this exists. All the things point to wrong.
I mean, like, you know, it's based on that Bob Woodward book, but a lot of the stuff, like, a lot of the stuff having to do with, like, John Belushi's ghost and the stuff, like, him playing pinball for his life and stuff like that that's not from the book. That was written for the movie.
Well, I do agree with the whole Michael Chiklis is one of the best things in that of this weird movie.
He's really good in it. He's damn good in the movie. He's easily the best part of it. That and the movie has moments. Like, it's when you take out, like, I did there's a cut online that I edited together, and it's like maybe 45 minutes long. If you take out all the bullshit of the movie, it's like 45 minutes long. You take out all the stuff with the ghosts and the cab driver and all this horse shit. It's like 45 minutes. And I made this little cut just to see, like, does this movie work without all this shit? And it works better. It's bleak as shit. Like, it's bleak as hell. And I could kind of tell that when watching the movie. I'm like, okay, you get past all this stupid shit with the ghosts and all this crap. And the scene where, like, he's getting the speedball injected into him, if you look at that in and of itself, how gritty it's shot and the really bleak music that's playing, it's actually a little haunting. And then their ghost shows up and does something stupid, you know?
So essentially a fan edit without actually being a fan.
Yeah.
I should probably watch that now that I know that's out there.
Yeah, I switched some scenes around and tried placing them in different areas and stuff. I don't know. I didn't have much to do that day.
That seems to be a tradition here.
Yeah.
But that bringing that up, because, like I said, that's one of my personal favorites among the Cinema Snob reviews. But I do want to know, considering, like you said, you do other series, you've also stopped doing other series. Was outside of the Cinema Snob, is there a personal favorite side series, I guess we could call it, that you really like going back to?
That is ongoing, or
yeah, like currently going.
Oh, that's currently going. Yeah. That's currently going. I mean, technically, 80s Dan is, even though I haven't done one in a couple years, I haven't, like, canceled it by any stretch of the imagination. It's just a time-consuming show. But we are planning on doing a movie version of it.
Oh.
Probably not anytime soon, but at some point, yeah, there's going to be a movie version of that show. As one, because I kind of like the concept that I have for it, and two is like sort of an apology of like, yeah, sorry, it's been like 2 years since this since anything from this show happened. I enjoyed the reviewers, though that's probably not going to be going past a first season. I liked I do really like doing DVDR Hell. I love doing the midnight screenings. I mean, if I'm still doing it, then I clearly still love it.
Simple's the best, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that brings up another thing. I love that you're actually segueing into all my questions.
Right on.
You're great. I love this. Like you just mentioned, you're basically considering doing an 80s Dan movie.
Yeah.
And it's safe to say, I don't know if anyone technically counts the anniversary specials on Channel Awesome as movies. I mean, they're feature length, but I don't know. Like, you're one of very few critics in any forum that's actually written and produced actual films. So, if it's on IMDb, it's a film. It's astounding because I knew Roger Ebert had written a film once, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. He's written a few, actually.
Yeah, he's written a few Russ Meyer movies.
I think because he started as a screenwriter for Russ Meyer, which I guess that goes in conjunction with Roger Ebert inspiring the snob. But that's the thing is that it's so unique. Like, it's not unusual, but it's relatively rare for someone who kind of focuses on film criticism to actually write and produce films. So how would you say the difference is in writing a feature film versus writing a analysis or criticism of sorts?
I don't really I'm not a professional movie critic. Professional movie critics, you know, they have degrees and they work for, you know, newspapers, high-ranking websites, all this stuff. Like, I'm a guy who goes to see a movie with his friends and then just shoots the shit about it in the car afterwards. I am not under the guise of that I'm some kind of professional movie critic or anything like that. I'm just a guy who likes going to movies and likes talking about them with his friends. And while certainly you could probably point out some Cinema Snob episodes that certainly are very analytical towards the movie, whether it's Wired or Mommy Dearest or maybe even Heartbeats. But, you know, still, it's coming from the point of view of this fictitious character, and it's being rather satirical towards the reception of those movies. But it is, at the end of the day, a riff show. Like, yeah. It's a show about being snarky, about this kind of highbrow guy just snarking up a storm and saying really stupid things about the movie. Like, why is this movie called Windows? Like, it starts out in a tunnel. Like, you know, things like that. So I'm not under any kind of impression that I'm a serious film critic. I like doing movies, and I like doing shows and comedy shows, and a couple of them just happen to involve talking about movies. So I look at it more as they're just two different types of things that I write. Like, I've written and directed some movies, and I've written and directed some shows that happen to do with movies.
I basically like the way you're basically saying that you don't consider yourself a critic, because it's actually been an argument amongst me and some other people of what actually makes a critic, because there's so many YouTube or just video critics out there, and I use critics in quotation marks, of course. But I do respect that you don't actually consider yourself a real critic, but you at least know what you're talking about. Well, like, to me, I think that's enough.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I grew up watching movies. Me and my friends have. You know, it's clear we've seen a bunch of movies. We like what we like. We know our stuff. But you know, we just like hanging out, going to movies, and shooting the shit about them.
Yeah. Now, here's one thing that I basically ask quite a lot of critics, because when you get a following, especially in the film reviewing or just critiquing realm of the internet, it's safe to say you've probably gotten several requests on multiple different titles that you probably see more than once.
Yeah.
So what would you say is one of the most requested titles that the snob review?
I've pretty much done all of them. Like, I remember Axum was requested a lot, Snuff was, I Spit on Your Grave was, Heaven's Gate was, I get Ishtar requested a lot, I get Howard the Duck requested a lot, stuff like Slumber Party Massacre.
Oh, I love those movies.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah. They're amazing.
Totally. A lot of those I do, and eventually I'll definitely get to them.
For me, I don't know why, but I've always felt like the film Kite, as in the original animated film, just seemed like something that would fit, you know, it's technically pornographic and rather exploitive. So it's like, this seems like, I'd love to see the snob do Kite.
That's the anime, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. You could call it that. Yeah, there was a remake, I think, recently that just disappeared.
Oh, okay.
There was a remake.
I don't know if I would ever do that. It's kind of the same reason why I'm kind of strict about my own rules that I've set up of not really doing anything past 95. Even though, yeah, I make exceptions. If it's a sequel, if it's a remake to something I've already done, then certainly that's fair game. Yeah. And also, if it's a I'll do anything in a crossover, so that's fine. But once if I were to ever do something that was like past 95, suddenly that opens the floodgates for me for millions of stuff to get requested to me. And I kind of feel that way about anime too. If I were to do one of those, suddenly I'm getting a bunch just requested out the ass.
That makes sense. That does make a lot of sense.
Also, I'm not really. Jillian is, she's huge into anime and stuff like that. I've seen some I've liked, seen stuff I haven't. It's not really my thing, by and large. But, you know, I've seen ones I've liked. So it's not really my medium. It's not. That's kind of more Jillian and other people's thing.
Yeah, gotcha. But the, considering, basically one of the last things that I tend to ask pretty much all critics is, it's safe to say, I'd like to think you're an inspiration to quite a few people. At least everyone in the Channel Awesome curriculum, I suppose. Cool. They've inspired a lot of people. I know I have personal friends like Joey Hollywood and that movie nerd Kevin who have mentioned you as an inspiration.
So, oh, wow, cool.
So it makes me wonder, for a lot of people who are listening to this, who are like, oh my god, it's the Cinema Snob, I'm inspired by him, what would you think would be the best kind of advice you can give to anyone that is very interested in pursuing what you do?
I've always said, like, you know, if you got an idea and you want to do it, just go ahead and do it, man. Like, you know, you don't have to write to somebody or ask somebody, like, hey, what do you think of this? Or do you think this is a good idea? Should I do this? Can I send you this script to see what you think? You know what? I mean, just do it. Like, that's what I did. That's what everyone else I work with has done. They just do it, you know? They pick up their camera. They have an idea. They write down their idea. They do their script. And they film it, and they throw a lot of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. It's kind of the same idea as doing a pilot for something. You know, you throw some stuff at the wall and you see what sticks. If something doesn't stick, either maybe try fixing that or try reworking it or do whatever you want to do. But also work within, you know, the means that you have. Don't try attempting something that you don't have the funding for, the budget for, anything like that. Don't be too over ambitious if you can't do it. You know, work within your own means. Also, don't just simply copy someone else. Try bringing something newer to the table other than, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm talking about a bad movie. You know, or a good movie, or a bad movie, good movie, whatever movie. Try, you know, I mean, unless that's what you want to do, then cool. Then, you know what, go for it, you know. Try it out, see if it works. My suggestion would be to, like, really try to think of something fresh, or bring something new to the table of that particular genre of internet reviewing, if that's what you're wanting to get into.
I think that's some very sound advice. And thank you very, very, very much for appearing on this silly little podcast that somehow I can get people to join.
No problem, man. Thanks for the invite.
No worries. And for anyone, surprisingly, if anyone out there is not familiar with Brad Jones as the Cinema Snob or any of the other multitudinous shows we've mentioned him creating, go to his website, thecinemasnob.com. Links will be in the description, as well as, you know what, supportchannelawesome.com. If you've somehow never been there or heard about it from the grapevine, go there, check it out. Don't think you're I think you're really missing out if you haven't seen his stuff. It's hilarious, it's intriguing, and I think you'll learn something. So thank you all for listening, and please have a wonderful day. This is a sign.